Isn't it great to worship the Lord this morning?
Wow.
Isn't it great to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. I thought I heard the people online over you guys. Come on. Wow, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and just so glad to be able to be with you. As you know, I've been out for a couple Sundays on a fishing trip, and we had a somewhat of a good time as we were in Minnesota, there at Rainy Lake, which is on the border between Canada and the U.S. And so the truth is, I can say for just a moment, I was in Canada, because the navigation through Rainy Lake actually takes you into Canadian waters for a few minutes. But nonetheless, it was great to go and spend some time in the wilderness and on the water and attempting to catch some fish. No big fish stories. I could be like most fishermen and lie about it, but that's probably not very good for my character and my position. But we did discover why they call it Rainy Lake. Rain, and more rain. And so, we can tell you some stories about that. I don't know if you've ever known what a sopping wet pillow sounds like, but at about 1 in the morning, when my tent gets unzipped and I hear this whoosh into my tent, first time in my life I heard a sopping wet pillow. But anyway, we'll share more about that at a later date. But it was good to go and spend time with friends, and of course to be there with Eli and such was a good time. But so glad to be back and to be in service with you and to be worshiping the Lord together. We're just so excited about that and so glad that you're here. But before we get into the message this morning, just a few announcements we wanted to share with you. We want to remind you, this evening is our dinner and devotion, 6 o'clock this evening. So bring your favorite food and come. And we're going to share with you about Revelation, not the book of Revelation, but Revelation. And in that, we'll be sharing some pictures from our Rainy Lake trip as we talk about how God speaks to us. And so we're going to do a little bit of that this evening in our dinner and devotion time. And so we'll help you come out and join us for that. Once again, 6 o'clock this evening. Also, we're continuing to think about new membership class this fall. And so if you're interested in becoming a member of the church, you would get with me. And so as we put those things together, you get a date set for our new membership class. Also, if you're interested in being baptized to see me, you might still like to get a baptism in before it gets cold. Also, just a food pantry reminder, we do have a gray tote there in the foyer. We're continuing to collect items for the food pantry, and we have recently been sharing that with the church right there at Hickory Ridge and for their food pantry. And so the food pantry is still collecting food for that, and so I want to remind you of that. Back to church Sunday. We want to begin to genuinely encourage people to step out and come back to church. And I know it's been an interesting year here in 2020. Lots of new experiences, and some of those experiences not so favorable, but we have a constant in the Lord. And so we want to encourage people to begin to gather for worship. That's September 20th. And so we encourage you, invite your family and your friends to join us as we return to church and worshiping together. And so we want you to begin to think about back to church and just worshiping together. And you'll find in your bulletin some other upcoming events there with the upcoming missions gathering and the ECL meeting and such. And so we hope that you'll be part of those events that's happening here at the church. Well, as I mentioned to you, we are looking at thinking about back to church, and so in doing that, we are want to share a sermon series with you over the next several Sundays that is entitled The Harvest, not the harvest of pumpkins and corn and beans and all that type of harvest, or getting out in our garden and beginning to reap the benefits of that, but this concept that Jesus shares with us, that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so when I think about the harvest, I think about people and their need for Jesus and their need to be able to come together in worship. And so we want to begin to share this sermon series with you over the next few Sundays in regard to the harvest. This morning we want to begin to think about the compassion of Jesus. On many occasions, I have shared with you about passion. And have asked you, what are you passionate about? Many of us are passionate about many things, and I hope there is some spiritual passion in you and some physical passion in you, things that you enjoy doing. And so I hope there's both. And for me, I love being able to come and worship the Lord. Worship is very important to me, and I'm very passionate about the worship experience of singing and praying and fellowshipping and just being with the Lord, be it in my personal worship or being in corporate worship. Worship is very important to me. The Word. I'm very passionate about the Word of the Lord. I love the Word. I could spend lots of time talking to you about the Word. I have a whole list of things that I'm spiritually passionate about, and I hope that you have a whole list of those things. And then there's some things that I'm kind of separating the spiritual world from the physical world for a little bit in regard to passion. And then there's some things that I'm physically in the world passionate about, and you know what one of those are, and that is fishing, absolutely. And so I'm passionate about fishing. Who would go spend 3 days in the rain in the middle of nowhere if you wasn't passionate about fishing? Well, that's me. And so I wanted to share this picture with you. This is my passionate fishing face. At least I'm unmasked anyway. that's my passionate fishing face as we was crossing the bay there at Rainy Lake trying to catch some fish, and Eli snapped that picture, and I think that's a ruggedly handsome guy. Might be my personal opinion, but anyway, just wanted to share that. You know, we need to be passionate about some things. We need to be passionately spiritual, and there should be some things that are important to us. And of course, other than fishing, my family, and I got a whole list of things that I'm passionate about, but I can't take all morning and talk to you about what I'm passionate about, because I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about what Jesus is passionate about. And so I wonder this morning, we've thought a lot about our own passions and what we like to do and what we enjoy, but have you ever really thought about what Jesus is passionate about? I hope you have. And when we understand His passion, what He's passionate about, we can then see and experience His compassion. And so let's ask that question this morning. What is Jesus passionate about? I think we can answer that question easily this morning. Jesus is passionate about people. Yes, people. In fact, the very reason He came into this world was because of people and the condition that people were in. Jesus is passionate about people. And so if you ever wonder, what's Jesus passionate about? People. And He likes fishermen, by the way. Didn't know if you knew that. Tough crowd. But Jesus is passionate about people. And I hope we quickly get the understanding, if Jesus is passionate about people, we should be passionate about people. We got Back to Church coming up. We should be passionate about people. And so this morning, as we're thinking about what Jesus is passionate about, I encourage you to take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9 this morning. I want to look at verses 35 through 38. And so I would appreciate, as we come to the Word, if you would stand for the reading of the Word. And those of you at home, I hope that you grab your Bibles and that you'll turn with us. Matthew chapter 9 this morning, verse 35. And there Jesus shares with us, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Join us in a word of prayer this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you so much for all that you have done and the compassion, Lord, that you have for people. Because it was that compassion that you have for people that has brought each and every one of us here to this place that we are this morning, be it here at the church or in our homes or on our or in our car, wherever we are, Lord, your compassion has brought us to this place. And I pray this morning that we as your people would see that you are passionate about people and that people and their condition move you. And hopefully this morning, because of what we see in you and understand that we are to be like you, Lord, that you would help us to be passionate about people. And that we too can connect with others and to be able to share you with them. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that you would come in a powerful way and that you would stir our heart and mind and we would understand this thing of passion, especially about people, greater in these days than we ever have before. And so, Lord, we ask that you allow us to come in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. We ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Few things I'd like for us to consider this morning as we think about what Jesus is passionate about and then how that passion then flows into compassion for people. And so three things, in fact, that I'd like for us to consider this morning in regard to what Jesus is passionate about. And we already understand that He's passionate about people. So this first thing I'd like for us to consider is what Jesus shares with us or was what shared about Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, that simply said to us, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." And so when we think about the compassion of Jesus, we think about what he's passionate about, we discover right here in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion. As we think about that this morning, let's really look at verse 36 and what it shares with us. We understand that it says when he saw the multitudes, or when he saw the people, when he seen all the people, and he was observing them and he was watching them, when he seen the people, the scripture says he was moved with compassion. Now I want you to understand there's something different about being compassionate and being moved with compassion. When we say somebody's compassionate, it's the concept that they're concerned or that they care about a circumstance, a situation, or someone else. They're compassionate. They can kind of relate and they care. Well, of course, Jesus cares. Jesus cares about every one of us. He cares about people. No matter who they are, no matter where they are, He cares about people. But I want you to understand this morning, when Scripture speaks to us here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says that He was moved with compassion. When He seen the people, He was moved. He was stirred. There was something in Him that felt the brokenness and the hurt of the people. He was moved with compassion. When we're talking about being moved with compassion, it's the type of compassion that leads us to action. You can be compassionate for people and do absolutely nothing about it. But when you're moved with compassion, like Jesus was, it moves us to a place of action where we do something, where we intervene, because we feel their hurt or their pain or their circumstances. And so I want us to understand this morning that when Jesus sees people, it moves Him, it stirs Him, it genuinely and thoroughly concerns Him. When He sees you, no matter where you are, He's concerned. He's moved by the circumstances in your life. Because Scripture says Jesus was moved when He seen the people. He was moved with compassion for them. And just being me, I have to ask the question, why was Jesus moved so much? Why was He stirred so much? What was it about them that was so concerning? Well, Scripture says that they were weary and scattered. The people that He was observing, they were weary and scattered, or in maybe modern terms, they were tired and lost. Have you ever been tired? I don't mean sleepy tired. A lot of us these days get sleepy tired. Some of us sleep great and some of us don't, but we talk all the time, you know, I'm just kind of tired today. I'm not talking about that tired. I'm talking about that place where you are just sick and tired of the things of life. Where they're just driving you crazy and you say to yourself, I can't stand it anymore. I think we've all been there. We've all had those moments in life where we're just tired of things either breaking or going wrong or the pain or the hurt or the sickness or whatever that might be. Jesus, when He observed these people, seen that they were tired. Tired dealing with the things of life, and maybe even physically tired. Because when we're dealing with life, it exhausts us at times. And so Jesus observed that in these people. They were tired. And not only were they tired, they were lost. They were scattered. They wasn't going any particular direction. They were just wandering here and wandering there and going here and doing this and doing that. No purpose. Just existing. Maybe not even enjoying life. Just existing. Lost. And because they were weary and scattered, it moved Him. He was moved with compassion because of their condition. And the verse continues, not only were they weary and scattered, but it said they were like sheep having no shepherd. And so He observed that they had no direction in their life. They had no purpose. They wasn't going a particular place to accomplish a particular thing. They were just roaming around. Lost in the maze of life. And when Jesus seen the people in that condition, He was moved with compassion. He felt their pain, their hurt, their condition. And I want you to know, He just didn't say, well, that's a shame. He didn't say, well, I'm sure glad that's not me. And I'm pretty sure He didn't say, that's not my problem. Scripture says He was moved with compassion for people. He literally hurt for them. Why? Because He's passionate about people. He cares about people. He cares about you, each and every one of you. Every one of us. Everyone in our community. Everyone in our state. Everyone in our world. He cares about. He's passionate about people. And so as you come to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, you can't help but quickly understand that Jesus is passionate about people. People matter to Him. He's concerned about their circumstances. Jesus is passionate about people. Second thing I'd like for us to consider this morning, we find in, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 through 13 that share with us. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Second thing I want us to consider in regard to what is Jesus passionate about is that Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the sick. Verse 11 shares with us in regard to the Pharisees as they observed Jesus. And the Pharisees ask his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with those people?" Think about that statement. Why does your teacher, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, why does he eat with those people? Well, those people in Scripture were the tax collectors and sinners, those who were not considered to be righteous, like the scribes and the Pharisees considered themselves. Why? I can tell you why. You want to know why, right? Sure you do. Because he cares about people. Jesus came for the sick. And this is what he said in verse 12 as Jesus overheard them. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Notice, if you would, in verse 12, it's not the well, but the sick that he came for. Now, I'm not saying this morning that Jesus doesn't care about all people, because he does. But I want you to know that this morning he's extremely concerned for the sick. When we talk about those who are sick, we're talking about the people that are hurting. We're talking about the people that are broken. We're talking about the people that are dealing with some sort of sickness. Those people who are separated from Him for some reason. And would be considered not in a right relationship with the Father. And so that list could go on and on and on when we think about hurting and broken people. Jesus said, "The reason I eat with them is because they are the ones that are hurting. Those are the ones that are broken. Those are the ones who need me." And we were saying, "Well, Pastor, don't we need Jesus?" Oh, we do. But if you get into the mind of the Pharisees and such, they felt their righteousness was so righteous that they didn't need anybody. Because, of course, they were the ones who asked, "Why does he eat with them?" Because he cares about people. Jesus came for the hurting and for the broken. Jesus says in verse 13, "I did not come to call the righteous or the well, but sinners to repentance." Not the righteous, but the sinner, those who are lost. Jesus, this is why I eat with those people. Remember, in verse 36, Jesus was moved with compassion. It's these people who genuinely stir and move the heart of Jesus because of their condition. That's why Jesus is eating with them, because he cares about people. And guess what? We can quickly see Jesus is passionate about people. Third thing I'd like for us to consider this morning. In regard to what Jesus is passionate about. And I think this speaks clearly to His passion. And so we discover in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, that Jesus came to serve people. Matthew 20, 28 shares with us, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Note, if you would, Jesus came to serve people, not to be served by people. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we shouldn't serve Jesus. That's not what's happening here. But Jesus is making clarification that the reason He came into this world is not that people would serve Him, but that He would serve people. Why? You know why? Because He's passionate about people. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And He says in that same statement, and to give His life for, yeah, you guessed it, people. To give His life a ransom for many. Oh, how much time I could spend right here talking about the very fact that Christ came into this world to surrender His life. And we might be able to be in a right relationship with the Father. And so we don't have to live in hurt, and pain, and brokenness, and sickness, and separation from God. And He did that because He cares about people. Oh, so much time we could spend. And because Jesus cared so much for people, in our passage of Scripture today, He asked the disciples to do something. And we'll see that in verse 38. But I also believe that Scripture is relevant in any age, in any day. And just as much as they were His disciples, we're His disciples. And so not only was He asking the disciples that was with Him in that moment, but I believe He's asking each and every disciple today, here at Dover Hill, in your home, down in Shoals, in any of the churches in Shoals, in any of the churches in Indiana, across the world, He's asking them to do the very same thing. And so because Jesus cared so much for people, He's asked us to do something. And we see that in verse 38. He says to them, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now you have to pause for a moment and think about that statement. The harvest is plenteous. I guarantee you in 2020, the harvest is still plenteous. There are a lot of hurting, broken people in our world. There are hurting and broken people right here in Martin County. And so Jesus says the harvest is plenteous. Yet there's a problem. What's the problem? Jesus says the problem is the laborers are few. Now this got me for a minute. Why, did you miss something there, Pastor? No? But I think the church in our world today is missing something. You're wondering where I'm going, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Jesus is passionate about people. Help me here, Lord. If the church in America was passionate about people, or if the church in Jesus' day, the disciples and the others were passionate about people like Jesus was, Jesus would have never made the statement, but the laborers are few. Go ahead and swallow hard. No. And so Jesus says to his disciples, to us, pray. There's nothing on earth that changes things more than prayer. And so Jesus says to his disciples, simply because they're not as concerned about people as they should be, that they should pray that God therefore would send laborers into the harvest. And so I challenge you this morning, as we prepare for Back to Church Sunday, that we would pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. Or if I may, this morning, pray that we as the church would genuinely and thoroughly care about people. And as we're praying, we might consider that we are the laborers. Closing statement in our Sunday school class this morning, I thought was pretty pertinent to this concept this morning. And it shared with us, we're talking about responding to the Lord in Sunday school, experiencing God, and that's what we hope we're doing. And so if you're interested, you can join us in Sunday school for this, 9 o'clock Sunday mornings. This was that statement. Make up your mind now that when the Spirit of God speaks to you, you will do whatever He says. I like that. Make up your mind now. And so I encourage this morning that you would make up your mind now that if you are the laborer, that we would respond to the Lord. And that you would make up your mind this morning that just as Jesus is passionate about people, I am going to be passionate about people. Well, I believe this morning we've discovered that Jesus is passionate about people. And therefore, is moved with compassion for them. You notice the correlation. Because Jesus is passionate about people, that passion then moves Him to compassion for them. If we are not passionate about people, we will not show people compassion. To be honest with you this morning, there was a time in my life when I was a much younger man. I'm not saying I'm old this morning. Not yet. But when I was a much younger man in my early teens, I'd have to admit that I probably wasn't very compassionate or even, to be honest, sometimes passionate about people. Because I've seen circumstances, and this was my comment, I am not like this anymore, thank the Lord. It's amazing what God does in your life. And I would say to them, well, they got themselves in it, they can get themselves out of it. That wasn't very compassionate, was it? That's not how I think anymore because of what God has done in my life. But all church, this morning, I believe that just as Jesus was passionate about people, we need to be passionate about people. Because it will move us to a place of compassion. I wonder today, what are you passionate about? And I would encourage you today, take some time, think about what are you passionate about? What gets your motor running? What gets you motivated? What stirs you? And I hope some of that is physical things. Like fishing, well, maybe not for you. But whatever it is, I hope there's something that stirs you. But I also hope that you have some spiritual passion. And in that, are we like Jesus and passionate about people? Jesus loved people. I mean, think about it. He came into this world and died at Calvary. Why? Because he loved people. He was passionate about people. Just imagine if you asked Jesus today, what's your number one concern? People have asked me that lately. Mike, what's your number one concern? I think if you ask Jesus today, what's your number one concern? You know what it'd be? I'm sure there'd be all kinds of things. Well, certain things going on in our country, division, hatred, racism, on and on and on. We could, you know what it'd be? People. Because all that other stuff flows out of people. I hope we're like Jesus and we're passionate about people. So as we come to a close this morning, let's consider these two verses. And then we'll close. John 17, 18 shares with us, and this is Jesus sharing with the Father. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Jesus came into the world to love people. Jesus is sending us into the world to love people. And John 20, 21 shares with us, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I hope we're passionate about people. The praise team is going to come, and they're going to lead us in a closing song this morning. I love this song. It's entitled Reckless Love. Jesus loved people with what we might refer to as a reckless love. He just simply loved them because he cares about people. And so as we sing this song together and we worship the Lord, let's genuinely begin to think about people. And let's be like Jesus. Let's be passionate for people.